Good morning. Welcome to worship this day, Christ the King Sunday, the last day of our church year. The announcements page, once again, is quite full today, so please take some time to look at that on page 4 when you get a chance. I'll draw your attention to a couple of things. Christmas poinsettia orders. If you want to order a poinsettia for us to have up here to decorate our worship space when we get closer to Christmas, and then to take it home with you after the Christmas Eve candlelight service, those order forms are due next week, and I can't even believe that that's true, but that apparently is true. And so if you want to do that, please make those arrangements and drop them next week in the offering plate so that we can get those poinsettias ordered. They're always a lovely thing to help decorate our worship space, and those forms are back in the back. Also back in the back, I put back there, after some of you might have already walked in this morning, are some Advent devotionals. There's a couple of options back there, so you can check those out and take an Advent devotional. Those don't start on December 1st. Remember, they start on the first day of Advent, which is next Sunday. But what a wonderful rhythm to put with your Advent, to do a little devotional each day. To help you with that, 1 week from today, we're going to have our annual Advent wreath making. So if you've done this before, you know the drill. We will gather over here in the fellowship hall for a light meal, I think at 6 o'clock. Is that right? I'm looking at Carol and Kim. I believe it's at 6 o'clock. She's looking in the bulletin. I think it's at 6 o'clock that we're gathering next Sunday evening. And then we'll go outside. Gathering at 5:30. I'm glad you checked me, because I've been known to be wrong before. Always confident, sometimes wrong, right? 5:30 we'll gather out there and have some dinner inside, and then usually we go outside to make our wreaths just because it's sort of a mess. But you don't have to bring anything. I've got candles, I've got stands, I will have greenery by next week. And it's a wonderful way to pause each day, whether you're doing it by yourself or with your family, to pause each day to light candles and to count down toward Christ's coming. And you compare that with one of the devotionals in the back, and it's a really nice rhythm to look toward the birth of Jesus. So join us for that next week. There's about 11 other things in here, and so check out what else is going on. Angel tree did go up, and I'm noticing if you weren't here about an hour early today, you were almost out of luck on the angel tree, but there might be one or two more items left on the angel tree. Those are for students at Davis Townsend, and those gifts do need to be back and wrapped. It's in the bulletin here somewhere. No later than 5 o'clock on December 16th, so you got a few weeks on that. Other announcements, we'll recognize Neil with the results from our congregational meeting last week.
Thanks for our Get Out the Vote campaign. Everybody was here and signed the ballot last week, voted, so it was successful Get Out the Vote. The vote passed without any opposition, and both community members of the church council, they said, I'm appreciated by someone as Michael Wilson. Thank you for willing to serve.
Thank you. Other announcements we should be aware of?
These prayer shawls.
We've got prayer shawls up here, which are for hospice. So as you come up for communion, you could lay a hand on those and say a little prayer for whoever will receive that prayer shawl at hospice.
And next Saturday at 9 o'clock, we will be putting up the tree and decorating the tree. So anyone that can come and help would be greatly appreciated.
9 o'clock on Saturday, if you want to hang wreaths and wrestle the tree out from that building in the back, we would love to have some help at 9 o'clock on Saturday. Thank you. That's a Sunday, December the 16th, at 2 o'clock is Christmas caroling, and some of the women are organizing that and heading it up, and everyone is invited, right? Excellent. Other announcements for the good of the community? If not, we wish happy birthday this week to Jim, Robin, Houston, and Donnie. And I don't have any anniversaries on the sheet, unless anybody is aware of anybody else we should add to that. Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I was reminded by the front row folks here that Disney on Ice is happening on Friday for the silly group, and I think if you're going to that, you have already let Tina know and they've already bought tickets, so there may be opportunities to still add on to that, but you'd have to fend for yourself on that angle, I would think. Is that right, Tina? Okay, but meeting here on Friday at 5:15. Okay, excellent. 36 people are going to that. Wow, that sounds like fun. We are not brave enough in my family yet to have to sit anywhere, but a great event. Thank you, Tina, for organizing that. And thank you to Bonnie for playing, wherever Bonnie has, there's, of course, Bonnie, there you are, for playing this morning. And to Ed Lee playing for us while Judy is out on vacation this week. We're grateful for everyone who shares their musical gifts. We stand as we begin worship on page 94 in the front of your book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue on page 147 in the front of your book. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the community of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Glory to God in the highest.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you anointed your beloved Son to be priest and sovereign forever. Grant that all people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, may be united by the glorious and gentle rule of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The children will join me this way for the children's message. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Today is a day in the church that we call Christ the King Sunday. I want to know what you guys know about kings. Does anybody know anything about kings?
Yes.
You do. Okay, what do you know, Rosalie?
They rule.
They rule, which means what? They're in charge, right? That's sort of what it means to rule, is they're in charge. Yeah, okay. Anybody know anything else about kings?
Yes.
What?
Sometimes they're bossy,
okay, because they're in charge. Yeah, what else, Isabel?
They live in a castle.
They might live in a castle, yeah, okay. Rosalie?
They wear a crown.
They might wear a crown. Conrad? They might have servants. Yeah, okay. Those are all good things that we might think about kings. I brought some pictures of some kings. I don't know if you guys are going to know these kings or not. But this is one that you might not be... Oh, you do. Okay, you do know this king. This is Elvis the King off of that album, Elvis the King. If I'd have had my act together, I would have put it up there for you all on the screen, but I didn't have my act together this morning. So yeah, Elvis they called the king. Now, he's not exactly the kind of king to wear a crown, is he? No, they called Elvis the king because they thought he was the best, right? He was the king of rock and roll. They said he ruled the rock and roll world. So that's one king. Now, it'll be interesting to see. I thought you guys would be too young to know that one. What about this one? Do you guys know who this one is?
He's the king of the basketball players.
He's the king of the basketball players. Okay. This is King LeBron. King James, they call him. And he's got his rings on his finger because he won the championships.
He plays for the Chicago Bears.
He doesn't play for the Chicago Bears, but we don't have time to go into his saga right now. But he's a basketball player, and a lot of people think, ooh, he's the best, or at least when this nickname came out, they thought he was maybe the best. In this picture, he has a crown. Yeah, although I've never seen him really wearing a crown. Somebody just drew this one. But they thought he was better than all the other basketball players, and so people started calling him the king. Now, this one, I feel like maybe you guys have a chance of knowing about this one.
King Simba.
That's the Lion King. Yeah.
Lion King.
King Simba.
Simba.
Yeah, and he was sort of in charge of all the animals, right, in the movie. And it's interesting, Simba didn't really want to be king, but they needed him, right, to be king. If you've seen the movie, there's a new version coming out, so we'll all have to go see that. Maybe, I don't know, I'm going to be excited about that later.
I want that one.
Yeah, okay, we'll talk about it later. But yeah, King Simba, we sometimes say that the lions are the king of the jungle because they're such a powerful animal, right? Now, I have a different, a last king to show you, and I want you guys to tell me what you know about this king. Well, that's Jesus, right? Yep, who we say is God. So that's you're sort of on the right track here. This king looks a little different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Conrad, you told me that kings wear a crown. What about this one? Do you see a crown on there?
Oh,
no.
Well, sort of.
But he's wearing a crown.
He's got something around his head. That's called a crown of thorns, right? So when we tell the story of Jesus dying on the cross, they took all these thorns and made them into a hoop and put them on his head. Thorns hurt, right? You guys have run into thorns. So this was not a crown of honor. This was a crown that hurt him. Jesus looks like a really different kind of king, doesn't he? Right? He's on the cross when all these other kings, where we were talking about how powerful they are. This is Jesus, and he looks very different. But that's because we believe that Jesus is a very different kind of king. He is powerful, but he has a different kind of power. Do you guys remember what happens in this story? Jesus is on the cross, and he dies on a Friday. 3 days later on Sunday, this what we celebrate on Easter happens. What happens 3 days later? Do you guys remember? He rose, right? He rose from the dead. What amazing power to rise from the dead. We think Jesus is a wonderful and powerful king, but it's a different kind of power. It's not the kind of power, Maddie, that bosses people around, right? Even though Jesus is powerful. It's not the kind of power, Conrad, that asks other people to serve just so that he can have everything he wants, right? Jesus is the kind of king who comes to serve people, and he gives his life even to serve people. And Jesus is about healing and wholeness, and he calls us to follow and to help take care of people, and he calls us to serve others, not to serve him, which is pretty amazing, to serve him by serving others. Jesus is our king. He's a very, very different kind of king. He's a king who loves us and looks after us and takes care of us with a different kind of power, and it's a good power. Jesus is a good king. So today we remember that our king is not necessarily a king in our government, right? Our king is not ourselves. We're not the ones in charge. Who's in charge of us? Who's our king? Jesus. That's right. That's what today is about, Christ the King Sunday, remembering that Jesus is our king. Will you guys pray with me? Let's all put our hands together. Repeat after me. Lord God, thank you for sending Jesus to be our king. Help us to follow him. Amen. Thank you, guys. Okay. If you are going to Children's Church, you can line up at the door over here and wait for the Children's Church group. If you want to, you can go back to your seats and stay with us.
The first reading comes from the book of Daniel. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence, and 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. As I watched in the night vision, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the ancient one and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Psalms is Psalms 93. The Lord is king, he is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed, he is girded with strength. He has established the world, it shall never be moved.
Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting.
The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring.
More majestic than the thunders of mighty waters, more majestic than the waves of the sea, majestic on high is the
Your decrees are very sure. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Second reading comes from the book of Revelation. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Okay, so what does true power look like? There's an interesting take on that in the Marvel movie from a couple years ago, Doctor Strange. I bet some of you have seen. Anybody seen Doctor Strange? Oh, no, no one? Okay, hardly anyone? Great, at least one or two. Okay, good. Well, I'm going to tell you about it, so spoiler alerts. Now I'm just going to ruin the whole movie for you. Or maybe I'll inspire you to go see it because you think it's so interesting. The main character, though, of this movie, Doctor Strange, he spends most all of the movie learning about and practicing this mystical skill until finally, by the end of the movie, he wields these almost magical powers that allow him to fight bad guys, allow him to transport himself all over the world in an instant, and even allow him to manipulate time itself. But by the end of the movie, this really big, really bad guy shows up. One so big and so powerful that Doctor Strange's powers seem like cheap parlor tricks. They're insignificant, wholly inadequate in the face of this destroyer of worlds who comes to town. And so Doctor Strange and his allies look to be completely overpowered. But then Doctor Strange does something unexpected. He goes out to meet the enemy alone, completely unprotected and in the open, and he lets this great destroyer do just that, destroy him, not even lifting a finger to defend himself. He's killed right there almost instantly. But soon we learn the real trick. The scene that we just watched repeats. Doctor Strange comes out and he's destroyed again and again and again. And we realize at some point that he has manipulated time, set it in a loop so that he and the destroyer are living out the same moments over and over and over in this endless cycle. And over again, Doctor Strange is destroyed, killed, obliterated. The destroyer becomes more and more agitated each time, and we begin to see that Doctor Strange, in being willing to die over and over again, wields a different kind of power, a power that's even greater than the destroyer can wield or comprehend. Now, in our world, pretty often, power gets measured by capacity for violence and destruction, right? And that's a system that's completely based on threats. Do what I want, or I will destroy the things you care about. Even I will destroy your life. Whether it's fists or precision-guided bombs we're talking about, the concept is that the one who can do the most destruction is the one with the most power. But the end of this Doctor Strange movie calls that model into question. Doctor Strange is outgunned, but he wields more power than the Destroyer because he's willing to experience his own destruction over and over again forever rather than let the world be destroyed. And that is a different kind of power. Of course, we know that Doctor Strange is not the first one to wield a different kind of power. Here in the 18th chapter of John, Pilate ought to be calling all the shots in this conversation. Pilate is the regional governor. What he says goes. But I'm sure, much to his surprise, Jesus won't even give Pilate a straight answer to his questions. Pilate asks him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus doesn't answer, right? He says, "Did you ask me this on your own, or did somebody else put you up to this?" Pilate is the one who decides if Jesus lives or if he dies. But instead of being cooperative here, Jesus turns things around and questions Pilate. You might almost wonder, if Jesus had cooperated a little more here, could the cross have been avoided? But that really sort of misses the point, because Jesus clearly is not trying to avoid the cross. He basically says so. "My kingdom is not from this world. If it were, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over, but as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate's threat of violence and death, it has no power over Jesus, because Jesus wields a different kind of power, not a power based on threats of harm, but the quiet power of one willing to suffer rather than be part of the violence. Death is not a threat for Jesus ultimately, because Jesus is the source of life. This power, the power of abundant life, is what allows Jesus to face the cross, die, and destroy the power of death by rising again on the third day. The power of Jesus is so fundamentally different than the power systems of this world, than the power systems that Pilate wields, that Pilate, the religious leaders, even the disciples, they can't understand what is happening. But the power of Jesus is the power of abundant life, and as such, it is not subject to the powers of threat, violence, and destruction. And thanks be to God, this power of life is the power that we are joined to by the waters of baptism when we're joined to Jesus Christ. Having been joined to Jesus, having been made part of Jesus' kingdom, we are not ultimately subject to the powers of threat, destruction, and death. And this essentially is what Christ the King Sunday is about. To give you a little bit of history, in Italy in the 1920s, Mussolini and his fascist government were calling people to be loyal only to the state, only to them. They pointed to internal and external threats and said they were the only ones, Mussolini, the fascists, and the state, they were the only ones that could meet these threats and address them with force. They built up their power based on threat and destruction. But the church, headquartered in Rome, had a different take. Rather than pledge loyalty to the state, They declared this last Sunday of the church year to be about a different kind of ruler, a different kind of power, Christ the King. The King who wields different power and is willing to die opposing the powers of threat and violence. Christ the King Sunday is a welcome reminder for us that no matter who our leaders are, no matter what form of government we're talking about, it all takes a back seat to our primary allegiance, which is to Jesus, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And if we choose allegiance to the King of Kings, what our lives then must look like is working with Jesus to extend the kingdom of God, going into the dark, unpleasant, risky places of the world for the sake of bringing comfort, hope, and light. It means that we may be called to put the well-being of others ahead of our own, knowing full well that we might suffer for it. It means that we welcome the outsider, the alien, the refugee, even fully aware that of the risks that that may pose, because we knew what Jesus knew, that our kingdom is not of this world. Our kingdom looks different. It's the one that Jesus promises in Matthew 25, when the king shall say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." That is our kingdom. That is a different kind of power. And if this is the king and the kingdom that we serve, it means that we have thrown in our lot with Jesus. This Jesus is the one who has destroyed the power of death, the one who has the power of life. This is the one who will make all things new. In the end, Jesus finally tells Pilate, "For this I was born, and for this I came to the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And if the truth of Jesus is about a different kind of power, a different kind of ruler, a different kind of king, then it's about the one who lays down his life rather than participate in the cycles of threats, violence, and destruction. This is the kind of king who gives his life for the very sake of the world. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the path of life. The question raised by this Sunday, Christ the King, is Jesus your king? If he is, for the sake of a hurting world, listen to the truth. Follow. Amen.
Jesus shall reign wherever the sun does its successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane. Thank you.
Please join in saying what we believe in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
With the people of God gathered here and throughout the world, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. Almighty God, you love us and free us through the death and resurrection of your Son. Lead your church through the gospel. Bless all who lead, deacons, musicians, pastors, teachers, and all who speak your truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, you reveal your goodness through the majesty of what you have created. But we are often selfish and careless in our exploitation of your world. Guide us in our use of natural resources that all of your creation would flourish. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, you desire justice in the world. Grant to courts, wise and discerning judges, attorneys, and public defenders, and guide the rulers of nations to bring about peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, you are our beginning and end. Soothe the afflicted, comfort the distressed, console the bereaved, and heal the sick. Especially we pray for Burnett, Jane, the family of Marshall, Bobby, Harold, the family of Betty, Lydia, John, Jean, Lydia, Dwight, Sheila, Gary, Barbara, Sue, Bill, all those on our extended prayer list, and those we name now. Give to all, Lord, who provide care, a measure of your compassion and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, you call us to serve our neighbors. Nourish us with word and sacrament so that we serve as your hands and feet in the world. Protect those who are traveling this day and bless those who are unable to attend worship. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Hear our prayers, spoken and silent, Lord, that we commend to you this day, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace with one another. We stand.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you, and also
with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, these are the gifts of God for the people of God, for all who seek the true presence of Christ Jesus in this meal. You may be seated.
Thank you.
stand. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people, now send us forth in the power of your Spirit that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.